is like a fagot. It has too many departments. Because if I really want to teach the kingdom, I can teach prayer in the kingdom. And in prayer alone, I will need to unveil the many faces of God in prayer. Because God is a friend in prayer. God can also be a judge in prayer. He can also be a father in prayer. Are you with me? So there are many faces. God can also be the captain of the army in prayer. So you will need, and each of those faces of God has different ways that you must make it in prayer. You may not teach prayer, you may teach fasting. It's also a kingdom labor. I was in a meeting recently and they told me that there are many kinds of fasting. They said there's one fasting, was last week, that's called white fasting. They say white fasting, you can't even eat beans. But there was no salt inside. You can eat yam, you can eat bread, you can drink milk. Oh! So I said, is that fasting? They say, yes, though. Is it a good thing to eat yam without salt? But they say it's fasting. You can eat 3 times a day like that, but no salt, no pepper. I can sustain that diet and be fat. Because it means I can eat egg. He says, fast. We need to teach fasting in the kingdom. That when you are fasting, the person sitting close to you must not have a reason to stay and you fat. Because you must not carry it. If you carry it on your face and he says, are you fasting? I say you are fasting. And it suggests in your heart that you have more ranking. That's the reward of your fast. Are you with me? So, there are many things that we are doing because we didn't pay attention to the teachings of Jesus. What Jesus did from Matthew chapter 4, from verse 18 thereabout, don't go there, stay with my Genesis, was to teach for 3.5 years on the kingdom. Things that his disciples didn't understand. How do I know? Because in Acts chapter 1, they still asked him, whether at this time restore the kingdom back to Israel. The way to know if your students are learning well is to let them ask questions. The question they asked him showed that they did not learn anything. So they had to introduce them to the Holy Ghost who will come to teach them all things. So the Holy Spirit came to give disciples a practical approach to the vocal teachings of Jesus. Do you know that if you understand that portion that you just quoted from now, you will not be afraid? That's Matthew 13. You will not be afraid of anything that stands against you. Because the parables of Jesus about the kingdom show that ultimately the kingdom will win any battle. So there will be no reason to be afraid. So it's a vast topic. But what I'm saying is, in Genesis chapter 1, we see God as a creator. That's not who he is. That's what he does. But in naming spirits, you can name spirits based on their nature. You can also name spirits based on what they do. Activity. If you go to verse 2, the Bible gives us a picture of what the earth looked like. It says the earth was without form and it was void, empty. There was darkness upon the face of the deep. But the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. It means the first introduction of the Holy Spirit is as what? It's as a moving spirit. That's his first introduction. A moving spirit. It means the one who dwells in the kingdom and wants to relate to the Holy Spirit must master the Holy Spirit as a moving spirit than as a speaking spirit. So many of the communications of the Holy Spirit with you will be by movement and not by speech. He moves more than, so that when you want to climb a bike, if the bike man is a kidnapper, he will not shout kidnapper. You will just feel that there's a reluctance in your spirit. And you're climbing. If they say, why are you not going? You say, I'm not going. Why? If you are sincere, you say, I don't know. I just feel. It means he walks more through feelings than through speech. The reason is simple. He was first introduced as a moving spirit. God was first introduced as a creator God because largely most of his labors across time is to achieve a kind of product. Are you with me? So, he attempted that product in Adam by Genesis chapter 3, the product had jumped out of Moses' line, it took him about another 6,000 years, 4,000 years thereabout, to be able to arrive in the New Testament. And when he came into the New Testament, what he did was to display the prototype, the Christ. And then he begins creating again in the new creation. Same process he started with in Genesis. He initiated the New Testament. So you find out that Genesis chapter 1 looks very close to John chapter 1. How does John chapter 1 start? In the beginning was the Word. And then by the time you get to verse 3 and 4, the same word that happens in Genesis chapter 1 happens here too. Because what did God say there? Let there be. Now the light is inside somebody. So in him was life. And then the life became the light of God. So through time, God is creating. He's creating a product. But his activity as a creator does not fully define his essence. There is a reason for which God is creating. He's creating because he wants to replicate a kingdom. Are you with me? For example, if you give me this chair, I know you snub this chair. If you give me this chair, I enjoy sitting on the chair, very comfortable. Even the armrest has cushion on it. If I want to enjoy the same comfort that I have on this chair in my house, I will just need to take a picture of this chair and take it back home and get a carpenter, or if they say their furniture is the same thing, I mean. You know, it's like fashion designer and tailor. It's a tailor, it's a tailor. Have you? Sorry. Tailor is a tailor. I will need to take the picture back home. If they can reproduce this frame, it means I will come into the same enjoyment. So God shows up in Genesis chapter 1 as a creator, but behind the creator is a king. It's like God is like a colonialist. You know what the colonialist did? I heard that the colonial masters moved around this area. Have you? What they do is, a colonialist has access to two locations. He has his home location, and then he has another location that he wants to make like where he normally lives. So what he does is that when he comes into the new location, he begins to alter the things in the new location so that they look like the things in the old location, so that it can be comfortable. Just like I will take the picture of a chair and reproduce its constructions, God becomes a creator because he wants to reproduce the things in heaven so that in the earth he can still be king in the earth. If he speaks in heaven and everybody listens to him, he wants to produce an obedient man in the earth so that when he speaks in the earth, he will also respond. If, for example, you have studied scriptures wide, you look at Genesis chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 21, 22, you will find out that they look alike. River for river, tree for tree. Are you with me? You find out that the sun does not give light in that city. That's in Revelation. If you look at Genesis 1, you find out that the sun there is not essentially a light source. It is to mark for times and seasons. Are you getting my point? So the creating enterprise of God is because he is a king. He is creating products that will expand his government. He's creating products that will expand his kingdom. So, for those who have been around for long, around the independence, you will find out that the first set of the coins that were spent in Nigeria were not exactly like the ones being spent in England, but they also carried the head of the queen. So, it's a creation to look like the other one. If the queen traveled on roads there, if she's coming to Nigeria, they have to recreate those kind of roads. So God can be known in activity, but he can also be known by nature. And in the natures of God, God's most dominant nature is as a king. Let's use another verse of scripture. So we go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. After God had created everything that will make earth look like heaven, he happened upon a need, and that need was for a man who will give government here, because there's government in heaven. So there was a government here, and God was not willing to come to the earth to by himself give government in the earth. Just like the queen did not want to come from England and rule Nigeria. That's why somebody can promise you corn and abadu and what's the other thing? And cassava, goat food. And he's bold because he knows that his strength. And I was telling them when we're leading prayers in the he has a CV in being able to turn the outcome of elections on the night before the election. He has been doing it all the time. Even opposing parties go to him to help them. He has covenants that can rechannel the hearts of men overnight. So we have a spiritual problem. If you say we should stop praying, this country will become like Afghanistan. It's prayers that have kept up in view. So I'm saying, if we want to teach kingdom in Nigeria, we can't understand, because we don't run a kingship system. And even where the kings in Nigeria are no longer as powerful as they used to be. But in a kingdom, they don't need a written constitution in a kingdom. Anything the king says is what they do. Are you with me? So that's why I'm trying to be very petty with the Queen Lord Lugard thing. The reason why man was created was because God is a king. That's all. And God had created a territory. He will not be God if he needs to go to Lagos walking to Lagos with two legs. Don't serve a God like that. Don't serve a God who needs two hands to carry anything. You remember the testimony of John? When John saw Jesus in his immortal form, John said, "I felt like dead." Because he found out that even though he laid his head naturally on the chest of the Christ, he said his chest was like polished brass. His eyes were like fire. Does that look like him? Even if you cry, your eyes is red. Nothing will come out of it.
Territory. The strength of kings is in taking new territories. So his first territory was heaven. But he decides to expand his government. And so he takes on a new territory called the earth. That's the purpose of creation. In Genesis 1:26, having created everything in this new territory, he needs a place of government. So what he does is to make man, giving him the tools of divine functionality and the spirit, which is the software of divine functionality. That was God. Let us take it in our image after our likeness and let him have one. Now, the Lord suggests that man was essentially designed to be a community of communication, communion, except the things you want. So, in your best mode of expression, you are a king. Don't say yourself as a king. So we need to ask, how far will you get a king? That's what the focus of this question. But when you
ask
yourself,
you need
to be more careful.
Yeah.
Are you teaching this? You go back to what school is doing and you focus on the truth that nothing outside your roots here. If it costs you prayer, if it costs you fasting, if it costs you including where you're watching, so that you can shut down what's in your head. Shut down everything that the enemy is doing. But if you are a king, we can stop you and say, where are you sitting on? And you must be able to name a territory. Your proficiency as a king can also be judged. You try and compare your territory to heaven and see if you have used the image of God and the likeness of God to produce a territory that looks like heaven. In case your current territory does not look like heaven, it's not a problem. That's why you came to advance. It means there was a labor that changes the shape of your current territory and makes it look like heaven. That's how the kingdom advances. Progressing conformity to what happens in heaven is the advancement of the kingdom. So if it's a kingdom of righteousness, then when we look at the very kingdom, we will be progressing in the presence of righteousness. If it's a kingdom of truth, then we will see truth. So that's the foundation of Genesis 1. Let me come to Genesis 2. Genesis 2 established what I'm saying now. That when God actually created man, God did not give man the two things that were supposed to be made.
The word breaking man and stone between between the first thing
in the so you will find out that in Genesis 1:26, the intention was making man in our image and after our likeness. Like the two components, Genesis 1:27, how many components is one? There was no likeness.
Just generator.
Does he want of that? I'm not saying play, I'm just asking.
No.
Okay,
no.
This is a live keyboard.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the keyboards are all on back. Am I right? That's how I'm on.
Have you been there?
Yeah? Alex?
Oh, yes, I am.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I am. That's it.
That's not the issue.
See?
Comes to your mind, the Ezemu's eyes, spiritual eye, can also be deployed to serve another spirit. However, the easiest way to maximize what you have been given is that you couple the original image with the original spirit that was intended for it. That's how man was designed. All of these are the foundations for our kingdom expression. In Genesis chapter 2, we find out that God now gave physical expression to the man, because the man in Genesis chapter 1 could not be seen. He was a king, but he was invisible. As his creation. In Genesis 2, the Bible says God now formed man from the dust of the earth. And it has purpose. Because a king must be connected to the area that he will rule. So all of us have earth as our bodies, because the design is that we rule within the frame of the earth. Revelations 1:6, the Bible says, He has made us kings and priests unto our God, unto his God, and we shall reign on the earth. So God has plans for a kingdom here that looks exactly like his own, but he will not come down to rule here. He will rule through me. So in Revelation 19, you hear that his name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It means Jesus is not, you can't make Jesus Lord of Enugu. Jesus can only be Lord of somebody who has taken responsibility for Enugu. So he will control you so that he can control the town. Are you with me? Jesus only functions as kings of men. So he's not a king of a city. He's not a king of a nation. He's a king of kings. He gives us a picture of how his kingdom works. So there will be a man in the earth who has ascended to become a king. Someone who has taken responsibility for a land. And when Jesus rules over that man, the land comes into the impact of what Jesus is doing through the man that is in the land. That's why you were created and given dominion, which is kingly rule. Anything that we do that does not advance that kingdom does not count in God's conveniences. Does not count. Any giving that does not affect his kingdom is not giving at all. It's not rewardable. Any service that does not affect his kingdom is not rewardable. Because God is not about advancing men, he's about advancing his kingdom. You only become situated in his advancement when your advancement becomes the advancement of his kingdom. Are you with me? If I need to pass an exam, I don't have a good example in scripture. You remember the woman, Hannah? Hannah was troubling her husband. Give me a child or I will die. Give me a child. The husband said, am I God? And then there was a woman in the house who was having children like she was just laying eggs. So one day, Hannah went to the temple and said, Lord, if you give me this child, I will give him back to you. Unknowing to her, God was tired with the current priesthood. Eli had raised rogue sons. God had a need. He wanted to advance his kingdom and the priesthood of his kingdom. So when she offered God a child, Samuel, the beginning of another line of priests, God granted her request. It means the one who wants to see their needs met must know how to bury that need in the advancement of the kingdom. It happens to you. Why should God feed you? Because he created you. What will you use the energy to do? Are you getting my point? Why do you think Elijah did not die? Why did they send him to the house of the widow of Zizarephan? Yes. Why? Because Elijah was about the kingdom. Kingdom agents don't die like that. They are preserved not because they are special. They are preserved because of what they do. So if you find what God is doing and you smuggle yourself into what God is doing, that assignment becomes your preservation. That's why in the midst of the killings, I went to Katsina to minister. And my wife, I remember when I stepped out of the gate of the house, she had tears in her eyes. And I went back. I hugged her 5 times that morning. Because as I'm going, she will clean her eyes and then she will cry again. I told her, I will come again. Don't die like that. In the midst of all of this thing I've been to, I went to Niger State. They will even have bandit attack on the road. I went to Makurdi. I went to Zaria. I was in Zaria a few weeks ago. And I traveled a little by road and discovered to Zaria back. I didn't feel once that I was going to be taken. Because king. You are a king. You are a created one. But you must find your territory. So the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 from verse 7 that God took the man that he had formed and put him in the garden that he had planted. It means everybody that is sitting here has a garden that God has planted, a garden that you are a king of. It might be in ministry. It might be in the secular world. Some people's garden is their family. Because I found out that the father in the house is not always the guide. Sometimes not the guardian of the family. It might be a child who has found Jesus. The child becomes the new gatekeeper. Everybody sleeps from night to morning, but there's one whose heart is inclined to pray. If he prays long enough, they will give him the throne of that family, and nothing moves in that family until he speaks. Are you with me? I used to share that if you find out that you are the most serious with God in your family, don't raise your shoulders. Understand that it's responsibility. Mercy drew you close to God so that through you, God can reach your family. You are the one that has been raised to command deliverances to them. And in the day that they need deliverance, if you have not found your shape in God, it means they will suffer. You are a king. And you were designed, you were created because the kingdom needs to be advanced. Let's leave Genesis for time's sake and come to John chapter 3. So I need another Bible reader. You read for me. Okay, let me read from here. There's a way I read that that it helps. Are we learning anything? So God is a king, but he first manifests as a creator because of the intention to create his original kingdom in another dimension. Man is an entity of kingdom because what God has created needs to be governed. Jesus does not rule or lord over territories. He rules and lords over men who rule and lord over the territory. So he is king of kings and he is lord of lords. Finally, anything that you do that does not advance the kingdom of God does not attract a reward from God. It also does not attract the supplies of God. John chapter 3. Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Verse 3. So you can pay more attention now. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So if it's your Bible, you can underline, see the kingdom. We need to learn how to interact with the kingdom. One of the first kinds of interaction is seeing the kingdom. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I'm going to close around here. Jesus was an outstanding teacher. And because of the outstanding nature of his teaching, a certain man of the Pharisees, there are two basic sects amongst the teachers of the law, they are the Sadducees and they are the Pharisees. They have only one major difference. Quite a few doctrinally, but one major doctrinal difference is that the Sadducees believe that if you have died, you have died. The Pharisees believe that there's the possibility of resurrection. Are you with me? So this man approached unto Jesus and said that we have watched your ministry, your teaching ministry, and we all perceive that you are a man sent from God because there are things that you do in addition to your teaching ministry, or there are fruits that your teaching ministry produces that cannot be produced if God is not with that man. So in essence, he was saying, Jesus, you are a teacher in a class of your own. Are you with me? You are not like us. Jesus now said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Now, did the man say, we know that you can see the kingdom? Was that his request? So why did Jesus, the man spoke about miracles that Jesus was doing. Jesus said to him, that these things you can also do, but you need to see the kingdom. It gives us a picture of how miracles happen in the kingdom, that there are many channels for miracles. But for the purpose of this lecture, Jesus was saying that my miracles are miracles of sight. Because I can see what is happening in the kingdom, I can reproduce it. That's what you see when I do what I'm doing. Are you with me? The word see here is perceive. So it actually captures all the five physical senses in their spiritual dimension. The sense of touch, the sense of smell, the sense of sight, the sense of hearing, and then what's the last sense? Well, that's touch. Us, yes, taste. It means that the kingdom can be perceived on those five levels, and Jesus is saying that there are miracles of perception. But it is impossible to do those miracles if all you have is natural birth. Why am I speaking along that line? Because many times we speak about advancing the kingdom. However, in operating the kingdom, advancing the kingdom is a secondary operation. The primary operation of the kingdom is kingdom establishment. You cannot advance a kingdom that you have not established. So in advancing the kingdom must first sit down in you. And that's what happens when you become born again. Jesus said the proof of being born again is that you can perceive what's going on in heaven. Me, I don't have power. I'm not a power merchant. The miracles, my ministry, my impartations, their strength is in my ability to perceive. So I can be in a meeting. Anyway, when we come to power, we'll run them as practical sessions. I just labor till he shows me. And anytime he shows me, that's how Apostle Omer operates too. He sees. He can be in a meeting and say, "Oh," and I saw a flame. You'll find out that in a few minutes, that flame will implicate somebody and the shape of the meeting will change. Those are impartations by perception. You can see. They are not proof that he's an apostle. They are just proof that he is born again. Are you with me? It means all of us can function like that. He has greater signs of apostleship. But that's how it operates. So Jesus is saying my miracles are because I can see. If you see what God is doing, and you announce what God is doing, the announcement will draw what is in him into the earth. But he said, except a man is born again, he cannot see. Church, we cannot advance a kingdom that we cannot see. So it is key that the one who wants to advance the kingdom must first find it established by being born again. And what is the proper way of being born again? It is captured in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10, that you must personally confess the lordship of Jesus, and you must believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's how to become saved. So Jesus locks the perception of the kingdom under another kind of birth. If you want to say it, I was teaching a Yoruba church one day, and I said, if you're Yoruba, you understand that this word is quite insulting. What Jesus was saying to Nicodemus was, the reason why you teach the way you teach, and the reason why I teach the way you teach, is that I was born well, you were not born well. Because natural birth has a fracture inside it. You can see physical things, you can hear physical things, you can taste physical things, you can touch physical things, you can smell physical things, but if those things are replicated in the spirit, you cannot perceive them. This is one of the greatest stumbling blocks of many people who are proponents of kingdom advancements. They want to advance a kingdom that they cannot hear. So they really don't know what God is doing. You see many out of season labors because we don't know what he's doing. And the answer is, be born again. Jesus now Having said this, Nicodemus gives him a response. Because even though Nicodemus was a teacher of the law, that's why you see, knowing the letter brings death. The teacher of the law, a leader among the people of Israel, came up with a statement like, how can a man who is fully grown up enter back into his mother's womb? He means that the only thing he knows is biology. He doesn't understand this spiritual thing that Jesus is talking about. So Jesus decides to flesh out the reality of being born again, to expand it. And he breaks being born again into a twin reality of births. That to be born again, you have to be born first of the water and of the spirit. And in being born of the water and of the spirit, he gives us the criteria for kingdom establishment before the advancement. He uses the two basic baptisms to define the baptisms that make the kingdom established in a man. John's baptism is a baptism of water, but it was a baptism unto what? Unto repentance. It means the one who wants to operate the kingdom, you must have a change of mind, you must have a change of perspective. That's essentially what repentance is. It's not just that I'm sorry. It's that I've come into the conviction that this is not how to function. That's what true repentance is. That's why men who say they are sorry go back to the same thing. You have found out that this is not how to live. No wonder that when Jesus was going to begin his ministry, he said, repent for. So it means the reason we need for repentance is because the kingdom is coming. And there's a way they think in that kingdom. For example, if we start giving offering now, the person who comes with the bundle of $100 is the one who gave more. Is that how they measure it in the kingdom? It means you need to think like the kingdom. The lady who brought those two pieces of silver, that was all that her life was worth. Is the one who gave more. The reason is because in the kingdom, the giving of life is superior to the giving of money. So if what you are giving as money is the value of your life, it means what that woman gave was her life and not her money. So even though she gave less because of value, she gave more than everybody. Are you getting my point? In the earth, if you want to be great, you rule over people. Not so. But Jesus said that in the kingdom, it's not so. The one who desires to be the greatest in the kingdom must be the servant of the rest. What he was doing in his teachings was to change their mindset. The one who has truly repented is one whose mindset has been changed. So Jesus was telling them that in the kingdom, you will need to be born of the water. It means you will come, you need to be baptized unto repentance, unto a change of mind. We can't advance the kingdom of God if we think the same way we think. Because we will be given power and we will use power to subdue people. Unfortunately, when God was giving dominion, he did not give any man dominion over man. It was over the birds of the air, the things that live in the sea, and the things that creep upon the earth. Man is not a creeper. It means no man has dominion over man. If a man is allowed by God to be over another man, it's basically for coordination purposes. We don't lord it over ourselves. If you come to Bumosha and see me and our guys, you know, my body size still looks like the university student, but you know, except for this, my gray head that is getting plenty, but I can still fit into an undergraduate thing. And most times, on jeans and trainers and a t shirt, I always have either pants or earphones. And when I walk into the campus, maybe on my prayer walks, I don't walk with anybody, but I don't protocols. Nobody's looking for me physically. I don't think I'm that important. And in the spirit, the protocol guys can't take my arms. So let's not expose them. So I just hang out alone. So that as I'm walking, somebody walks past me, or two of them, and then they start an argument. The argument is it the one? No, it's not the one. I can't prevent them. Who can be walking like that? And so when I want to help them, I now stop and say, what's the issue? He said, you look like somebody. I said, who? I said, You look like Benjamin. I said, well, my own name is Mirangola. He said, are you okay to look like this? I said, why not? Repentance will do a lot to you. Because you cannot advance that kingdom until you have repented. There's a lot of kingdom advancement now. People trying to bring God into places, bring God into situations. But the things they are doing have the signature of flesh in it. And so God doesn't win. So it's first repentance, being born of the water. The second is of what? Is of the Spirit. And that has to do with the baptism that equips us. That's Acts chapter 2. The baptism of empowerment. Because it's one thing to change your mind. The two is another thing to have the power to do what you have been called to do. A while ago, early in the year, the Nigerian police had a university of their own in Wodeo, Kano. It's about 14, 12 kilometers from Kano. It's a full university. They study engineering, they study all these things. They call it the Nigerian Police Academy. I had the privilege to go and minister there for about 2 days. And I found out that part of their curriculum as policemen is that they help them recover the consciousness of their citizenship. It's a teaching that's supposed to bat allegiance to the nation. I really don't know why policemen collect money on the road. I don't know. Because they teach them enough to love Nigeria more than themselves. God bless you. So that's how it begins. It's a mind-changing thing. They see crime as criminal. There are things that you overlook that the policeman is trained to see as criminal. So that if they catch some people, the person says, I've not done anything wrong. They say, no, by the legal code of so-so-so, you are wrong. That teaching is supposed to produce a repentant person, one who now thinks along the ideals of the kingdom and not his mind. The fallen man is self-led or devil-led. The new man is supposed to be led by the Spirit of the King, the Holy Ghost. So we have to be trained. That's why when we come to church, we must teach. The teaching is a mind-changing system. However, if you change the mindset of a policeman and you don't give him a uniform, you don't give him a gun, when he stands on the road and says, stop here, that's how they used to stop us in Southwest, say, stop here. What do you have for the boys? So I don't have anything. Sometimes they want to harass me like that. My size is small. So they say, who's the owner of this car? I said, what's the meaning of that kind of person? It's my car. It's clergy on my car. They say, who's the clergy? Is he your daddy? I said, ah, am I too young to be clergy? He said, ah, he's even married. When they stop me like that, the reason why the average Nigerian stops for police, it's because somebody is wearing blue black or black black, and then the person is carrying a gun. It's the gun and the uniform that we are following. Because it can be Samson, your friend. And when he wants to mesmerize you, tell him Samson, if I block you. But you can't block him in the uniform. You will be fighting the government. So everyone who has been baptized with a change into a change of mind must also be baptized into equipping. He must have tools of function. He must be clothed. A cloth that brings compliance. He must be weaponized. Given a gun or a beating. Are you getting my point? So that was what Jesus was saying. And he says that when a man comes through that twin birth, which is being born again, it means you have repented and you have been empowered. That's who a born again individual is. Repented and empowered. He says, when you are like that, you not only perceive the kingdom, you can enter the kingdom, and the word enter there is participate. So everyone who is born again is assumed to be a kingdom player. You are no longer a spectator. You can also dip your feet into what God is doing and be a part of it. It means being born of the water and the Spirit makes you a gift to God. When God is looking for a man to mark a territory, he sends you. So if you have been born again for many years and there's nothing God has placed under you, one of the things you need to do after this conference is going to plead with him. It means maybe he can't trust you. Say, God, is it that there's nothing to do? Some of our guys used to come around to the house and say, okay, I'm preparing for a meeting. Say, what can we do for you, sir? Say, I've done everything. I do my laundry myself and all of that. They say, no, no, want to help you iron. So I say, okay, help me iron. Help me pick that up. When somebody comes to the house for long and I don't send him on errand, many times it's because I've seen attitude. And there's a way I run errands. Anybody that sells from the boomer shop, I compensate them. So I can say, okay, help me do that ironing. By the time he's doing the ironing, I bought something and packed some little money and said, okay, the reason is because I have it in my mind that man was not giving the million of a man. So that if people serve me, it's by grace. There should be something physical beyond the spiritual to show that. Thank you for serving. Are you getting my point? God watches as leaders. God watches how we relate to those that are under us. And the way we treat them can either give longevity to our service or cut it short. God is jealous for his people. So if you are serving in church and you are a leader, you need to be careful how you treat the people under you. Remember that the church is not just a body of believers, it's also the bride of Christ. If you mistreat a man's wife, what does he do? If he's a responsible man, what does he do? He'll fight. God fights certain leaders. May God give us understanding. So, this was Jesus' entrance into the kingdom. His labor was forced to see the kingdom advanced, established. And then it will now be advanced. Do we get that? So kingdom establishment is being born again, which is being born of the water of the Spirit. And there are two assignments that happen. There is a baptism unto repentance. There is also a baptism unto empowerment, endowment, or enablement. Luke chapter 11. That's my last portion of scripture. Luke chapter 11. I think I still have. Still have 15 minutes. Luke chapter 11. I want to read Luke chapter 11 verse 1 because the one in whom the kingdom has been established must find a way to advance the kingdom. And that's why we came. That's why I'm really going to see tomorrow morning. But let's initiate it somehow. Luke chapter 11. So I want us to pray. And it came to pass from verse 1 that as he there was Jesus the Christ, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. In the teaching ministry, it is important to be careful not to teach people what they are not willing to get. Are you with me? Because the end of teaching is not mental knowledge. The end of teaching is practice. So if people are not ready to hear it, don't teach them. And that was what the teaching of ministry of Jesus was. I found out that in the teaching curriculum of every Jewish rabbi, there is a class of prayer. But Jesus skipped that class. So the Bible says on this certain day, when he was praying in a certain place, his disciples, when he had ceased praying, when he had finished praying, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray as John. It means we have noticed that John has taught his disciples how to pray. And this one that came to Jesus must have observed Jesus' prayer life. When he was doing this last prayer, he was looking at him. He said, can God prays better than us? And he has not taught us. It's a good time to learn. So they are brought down to Jesus. Teach us to pray. Now, what does teach us to pray mean? You understand how kingdom education functions. Teach us to pray means if you teach us, what it will produce in us is not the knowledge of prayer. What it will produce in us is prayer. If I teach you to pray, the proof that I taught you is that you begin to pray. Are you with me? Good. So that's what Jesus, that's what they were asking of Jesus. We want to pray like you. So teach us. What did Jesus say unto him, unto them? He said, when ye pray, say, our Father which art in heaven. I'll tell you why he took that introduction. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in the earth. This narrative is also mirrored in Matthew chapter 6, but it's slightly different. Matthew chapter 6 is also longer than this one. Our Father which art in heaven. Sir, the one who wants to advance the kingdom must begin with a consciousness that he has a progenitor. Your progenitor is your, is like in what we call in Nigeria, your forefather. That's one. Two, the location of expression of that progenitor must be known. Our Father, it means that you are a descendant of one who is in heaven. Remember, the most dominant face of God is what? His face as a king. It means if your king, your father, is a king in heaven, and is your father, it means you are a descendant of a king. Your most expressive face must also be a king, but you will be a king in the earth. The greatest way to be grateful to your ancestors is that you be like them. Are you with me? So if you have a king who is your father and he lives in heaven and you live in the earth, it means he must come into shape as a way of showing gratitude to him. Jesus said, when we remember that we did not just show up in the earth, that our original reality is kingly and it is from heaven, what we should do in response is to hallow his name. What does the name mean then? Because when we say hallow his name, people say you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No. The name there, in its original translation, New Testament, written in Greek, what it means is two things: authority and character. It means we reverence the authority. It means there's a throne that has been expressed. Two, we reverence your character traits. It's the reality of throne and DNA. That's what you have inside the name. That's why darkness quakes when you say Jesus. Because every time you mention his name, they interact with his throne, which no spirit can dominate, and his character, which is separate from every one of them. Are you with me? The next thing is that we must raise up a cry. And that's the first cry. That's the first request in the Lord's Prayer. I believe that Luke 11, Matthew 6 should actually not be called the Lord's Prayer. It should be called the Disciples' Prayer. Because Jesus said, when he prayed, say, he didn't say, this is how I pray. My, this is just me. My proposal is that John chapter 17 is supposed to call the Lord's Prayer. We call it in theological circles Jesus' high priestly prayer. You remember? Father, the hours come. He asked for glory. He prayed for his disciples. Prayed for us who will believe. So that's high priestly prayer. That's his prayer. But whatever name we call it, so we call it the Lord's Prayer. That's what we call it. So we believe it. In the Lord's Prayer, The fourth request after you have adored the name of the Lord is to ask for a kingdom. It means in advancing the kingdom, the primary way to advance the kingdom is by prayer. I didn't say that is all. The primary is by prayer. So if you want the kingdom of God to be established in Enugu, the first thing is how they pronounce it. Enugu. Thank you for helping my life. We don't call him a Yoruba. So the other Yoruba man will say Enugu. Because that's how somebody says Enugu. So I'll tell my wife that I got the translation. Now, I said the primary way of advancing the kingdom is right there. Not all kinds of prayer. Because in prayer we have also streams of prayer. We have thanksgiving, we have petition, we have supplication, we have intercession. Have I mentioned thanksgiving? Yes. Basically, those are the types of prayer in scripture. But you find out that when Paul wants to speak of prayer, he always does not say petition, he says prayer. So you see, all things by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. What he calls prayer is what we refer to as petition. It is bringing a legal request before God. So the first petition in the Lord's Prayer is an all-important petition, and if you study that prayer, every other part of that prayer after it does not find relevance if that one has not been answered. You don't need daily bread if the kingdom has not come. You can use the energy for bandit. Your sins need to be forgiven so that you can be an acceptable functionary of the kingdom. The reason why God keeps you from temptation is so that you can steward his kingdom. The reason why it doesn't bring you under the power of evil. That's what said, deliver us from evil. It's because he wants to secure you as a kingdom functionary. Are you with me? So every other part becomes necessary because the kingdom must be advanced. So Jesus said, in advancing the kingdom, we must pray, thy kingdom come. I want to close with definitions. What is the kingdom of God? Because if you begin to go across the synoptic gospels are the first three gospels, their stories are similar. Matthew, Mark, Luke. You find out that John wrote differently for people. Because his emphasis was different. John doesn't even contain the part of Jesus. He feels it's a very small detail. He just starts with the beginning was the Word, and he goes straight to the Word made flesh. But in his synoptic gospels, you find out that in Matthew, there's a transition from Matthew, who uses the word the kingdom of heaven, for the same parables that Luke uses the kingdom of God. Now, by face value, they are the same thing, because it's the same parables. However, we found out that for living or organic purposes, we need to separate between the two realities. And the reality of the kingdom of heaven will, for example, be the kingdom of, or the High Commission of England. Sorry, the government of England. And the kingdom of God will be like the British High Commission. Which is another example. The government of Nigeria is hosted where? Essentially in Nigeria. Federal capital is Abuja. Do you know that Nigeria has a government office in the US? It's called the Nigerian High Commission. Anything that concerns Nigeria in the US is a high commissioner that does it. He's supposed to be a man who sustains a hard posture, that is the hard posture of Nigeria. So he doesn't talk originally. He doesn't act originally. Everything he does is supposed to be a mirror of what Nigeria wants to do. Do you get me? In the same way, the kingdom of God is supposed to be like God's high commission in the earth. So there is a kingdom of heaven where God is the king. And there is a kingdom of God whereby the reality of shared rulership, a man stands in the earth on the behalf of God and does business on God's behalf. A man who, like the high commissioner, must not have a mind of his own. A man whose words must not be original. A man whose intentions cannot be original. You will do everything by mirroring. Means you only raise your hand representing the kingdom of God if God raised his hand. If they ask you questions, you must not answer if heaven is not answered. Are you getting it? If somebody is sick, I know you have healing power. You have raised 20 dead men in your ministry. If Jesus is not healing this one, you must not. Because there were many people at the pool of Bethesda, but Jesus went only to one. He said that his son doeth nothing except what he said the Father did. Even the words that the son speaks are not his own. I speak the words of him that sent me. So he said, he that is sent of God speaketh only the words of God, and to that one is given the Spirit without measure. What it means is that when you become an original speaker, when you begin to have ideas of your own, you have stopped operating the kingdom. Because the kingdom is operated at your own. But we don't suddenly become kingdom functionaries. We pray into that mood. Because even a believer can be willful. We pray for 10 days. Some people in the University of Illinois had that issue. A group of about 50 intercessors. I had the privilege to meet with them once. And sadly too, I sensed that there were some things they were doing. Because they had prayed and they had a lot of prayer power, they attacked anything that looked like an opposition. So they can say, we are going for village evangelism. Jesus didn't send them. They go to collide with spirits. Sometimes they come back sick. None of them graduated from school. All the 50 of them, not one. How did the group start? One of them woke up and said, there's immorality on this campus. Let's attack the altar of immorality. It's a good fight, but if he doesn't send you, you will watch the altar and allow the one who is sent to attack it. The way they were eliminated was that everybody, after they attacked the altar for a while, the altar responded. And the altar of immorality doesn't kill people. He sprinkles immorality on the people who are attacking it without authorization. So many of the sisters became impregnated, not by external brothers, but by brothers in the group. It was shame that drove everybody from campus. Not one of them graduated, the 50 of them. Were they trying to advance the kingdom? Yes. Were they authorized? No. So it begins by prayer. And when God begins to answer the prayer, thy kingdom come. Before it happens on the territory, it creates a new man in the believer. What it does is that it damages you into where you can no longer strike out on your own, where the totality of your life is lived to serve the will of the king. I've forgotten your name. Fima. Do you know that after speaking in tongues, you can still do what is on your mind? I'm saying speaking in tongues for 10 hours does not stop you from being angry with the person you want to be angry with. Means many things we do in prayers and fastings need to capture this all important reality. You will not be able to effectively advance the kingdom if the kingdom has not advanced in you. Even when we come in the morning and show us sometimes, that when you were saved in your spirit. But man is not one entity, and you are not a spirit, you are spirit, soul, and body. And so the first advancement of the kingdom is the journey of the government in your spirit through your soul. into your body. And if that tongue is not fulfilled, you will go for evangelism and they will not believe, because the man who comes to evangelize will be someone that they have doubts about. You can see the man smoking at the back door and he's coming out this morning. And the reason why he's smoking is that the government in the spirit has not been able to suppress the strangeness in his soul. I've seen prophets go from the altar to a bed of immorality. The sister they are fornicating with, they met her in church. They actually prophesied to her. And in the height of the prophecy, they told her to see them. It's not for further prophecy, it's fornication. It's because that man, the spirit is alive, but the soul is still has the depravity inside it. So when we see advance, the kingdom must travel. It must travel from your spirit. It will travel into your soul, and the soul is a jungle. Because the soul keeps all the records of your possibilities. It's like a hard disk that is difficult to format. If you have cheated in an exam before, you got saved. And now you are saved. When you see a question, after praying in tongues, when you see a question you don't know, one of the first suggestions that will come to your heart is what? It's cheating. See, before we entered this thing, there was a way. We used to write this thing. Or we used to ask people. Because the soul needs a lot of work to format it. I wish it was easy like a normal hard drive to say, format, and it's clear. So Paul tells us that the mind doesn't lose its content at once. It has to be transformed. It's renewed. It's a replacement therapy. We remove 2 gig of profanity. You put in 2 gig of godliness. What you take out creates a space. You put in. If you are not putting in, I'm done. Yes. So, we pray. Tomorrow, we will start from, I mean today already, tomorrow. We'll start from the advancement of the kingdom. From the spirit to the soul. From the soul to the body. From the body, ultimately, to our environment, which is why we came. Can you bow down your heads and ask that the Lord will burn, cause these words to burn in your heart? Well done. Let these words remain in your heart. In case as we spoke, you found out that there was another purpose to which you were living and that you have not apprehended the consciousness of the kingdom, you want to ask the Lord to help you overnight to arrive there. When we come tomorrow, we will pray as the first thing we will do. That if there be anything that is still against the kingdom in us, God will have the free will to deal with it. I want to pray with the kingdom in view, not trying to create that I am superior. I want to heal with the kingdom in view. I want to evangelize with the kingdom in view. I want to live my life to advance your kingdom. Let there be nothing in me that advances self or advances the enemy. That's the prayer overnight. Ensure that you take out some time to pray it. If you pray, you will answer and you will begin to see change. I can trust you. And so, Father, tonight as we round up, we give you praise, because the call is to advance beyond the soul, is to advance beyond the purposes that we have found, to come into that place where your kingship becomes our obsession. Send us help tonight. Purge our hearts of filth. Bring us to that place where, according to the terms of our creation, we can serve your eternal purposes. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. God bless you.